Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for another Monday on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good morning to you. Coming up, we'll get things started with last night's clash in Kansas City. The Lions and Chiefs meeting on Sunday Night Football, including a post-game brawl we have to talk about. James Franklin is out of a job at Penn State out of nowhere. Double D called it over the week, and he said, we might lose to Northwestern. He was right. Who is next in line to coach at Penn State? Also, everyone will cast their votes for our Monday MVP, and we have two games on Monday Night Football tonight, Bills and Falcons, and the Bears coming to D.C. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. It is a Monday. Chelsea, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So I don't want to come in here like a braggart, but listen, Jenks, I feel like I probably had a better weekend than yours because, listen, last night, for the first time ever, we ordered the Texas Roadhouse Family Feast.
Ooh.
And boy, when I say it was life-changing, it was life-changing. I'm sorry that your weekend didn't include this, but mine did. So by default, my weekend wins.
I don't know. Texas beat Oklahoma, so I could starve all weekend and go on a 72-hour
fast. Texas Roadhouse, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. You celebrate your way, I celebrate mine. Did you at least toast to the horns?
Well, what I'm saying is Texas won, Texas Roadhouse. There's some synergy there.
Yes.
What I'm saying.
Correct.
But, I mean, I didn't need a reason to celebrate because, I mean, NC State got smoked by like 30 points by Notre Dame, which we expected. And also, oh, let's put the brakes on people who are like, Chelsea, the Titans are going to beat the Raiders this week.
Well.
They didn't. Scored a total of 10 points. So, Jenks, we don't need things to celebrate in our house. We just do it anyway, because if we waited on things to celebrate, we'd be waiting a long time.
Well, what was in this Texas Roadhouse family meal pack or whatever it was?
I think I have it memorized. So it's 2 8-ounce sirloins. It's 2 6-ounce sirloins. It is 2 huge portions of mashed potatoes, 2 huge portions of green beans, 12 rolls, and the biggest thing of cinnamon butter you've ever seen. Plus a huge thing of salad. It was a massive feast.
God, that sounds delicious. How many steaks did Jake eat? 3? Gave you 1?
I think we wanted to save room for sides because the sides were amazing and the rolls were amazing. Honestly, I feel like people go to Texas Roadhouse just for the rolls. They're like those yeast rolls, which you've been to a chain restaurant before that has the yeast rolls. So those were amazing. The cinnamon butter was amazing. So I feel like I maybe filled up a little bit too much on the rolls and sides because I only ate like 1 small steak.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be our meal for the next like 3 meals. So I am excited for leftovers this morning for breakfast.
That sounds awesome. All right, let's talk bets. And then we got to get into last night's brawl in Kansas City.
All right. So best bet for both of us was a winner. Baseball has been saving our bacon lately. Had the Tigers Mariners first 7 under 4.5. This was back on Friday. I'm not going to go into it too much, but it was a low scoring affair, tied 1-1 after 7 innings. That was a win. But usually my props are pretty right on the nose. This week was not the case. Maybe it was because of game script. Stephon Diggs did not have a big game. He went back to back over the century mark in the games prior to this. But here's the problem about having a good quarterback. I had him over 16.5 receiving yards. Sometimes when you have a great quarterbacks are good at spreading the ball around. And that's exactly what Drake May did in a win over the Saints. Diggs only finished with 28 yards. Also had J.K. Dobbins over 64.5 rush yards. That game was terrible. The Broncos and the Jets, what was the final score? 13-10, something crazy like that. So neither team really got going, and that included J.K. Dobbins. Needed him over 64.5, so a couple L's on my props was not a great weekend in that regard.
That happens. No biggie. I was also on Tigers Mariners, first five under three and hook, like you talked about. Air Force UNLV, I had the Rebels minus 6.5. That was a loss, as UNLV wins only by 3, 51-48. 1-1 weekend for this guy. Donkster had the Mariners on the money line against the Tigers on Friday. Mariners win in 15. What a great baseball game that was. As for Double D's degenerate parlay, he goes 4-3-1, and our squad parlay goes 3-2. It is the Daily Tip here on a BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us on another week on this Monday. We begin Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs down the Lions 30-17. The Chiefs laying 2.5. The Chiefs minus 135 on the money line. And the underhits total set at 47. Lions come in with a 4-game winning streak, and the Chiefs put that to an end.
Hollywood Brown in motion. He's got on the pop pass. Hollywood Brown to the end zone. Touchdown, KC.
It's Mike Tirico on NBC. Brown with 2 touchdowns in the night to go along with 1 for Xavier Worthy. But then after the game, after a dominant performance by the Chiefs, a fight breaks out.
Well, altercation going on. I don't know what started it.
Well, Brian Branch was involved in something, and there was a little exchange, and then people came running. I think that was Juju Smith-Schuster who came running into that.
I just glanced up and saw 2 Chiefs, 1 Lion, and then, of course, everybody coming on the field at the end of the game. And look, and there is a pretty significant brawl going on here, the back end of that over to the right.
So here's what led up to this fight. Apparently, Branch ignored a high five from Patrick Mahomes at the end of the game. Juju Smith-Schuster confronted Branch about it. That led to the fight. And then Branch also said after the game, he got a block in the back from Smith-Schuster right in front of a referee that was not called. He was upset about that. He did eventually apologize, and so did Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
Start with this. I love Brian Branch, but what he did is inexcusable. And it's not going to be accepted here. It's not what we do. It's not what we're about. I apologize to Coach Reed and the Chiefs and, you know, and Schuster. That's not okay. That's not what we do here. And it's not going to be okay. He knows it. Our team knows it. And so that's not what we do.
Well, good on Dan Campbell for owning that. Ultimately, this will take away from what was a very impressive Kansas City victory from the outset. Once they got on the field, they just executed flawlessly.
Oh, absolutely. This was a big get-right win for Kansas City and their offense. But I feel like the fight was more of a Brian Branch thing as opposed to like a Lions thing. Even I feel like Patrick Mahomes wasn't really involved in that. Like if you look at...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the aerial view, it felt to me like Brian Branch was trying to seek out Juju Smith-Schuster. So I feel like it was a more of like a Juju and a Brian Branch thing, especially when you have like the pattern of history with Brian Branch, where he was already fined $23,000 for unsportsmanlike penalties and face mask calls back in the game against the Packers. So it's not something I'm going to take away as saying, oh, the Lions are losing the locker room. It didn't feel like that to me. It just felt like, you know, the Chiefs were the better team last night, and especially their defense. And again, I feel like this has been the one consistent thing for Kansas City, with the exception against Jacksonville, where Jacksonville actually was pretty effective in the red zone, with the exception of that Trevor Lawrence fumble. But the Lions were only in the red zone a couple times, you know, last night. And when they were, the Chiefs put the clamps down. But I will say this. that first touchdown that they called back after not even throwing flags, that did feel very suspicious. And it is not helping the people who are, you know, conspiracy theorists saying every penalty goes against the other team that is playing the Chiefs. And coincidentally, the Chiefs did not have a single penalty last night.
They did not. I think this was a very impressive win for Kansas City, flags or no. I mean, they were really, really good. Mm-hmm. And the Lions tried to come out and tried to establish the run and did so for a while, just keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. But once Kansas City came in, they scored on the first drive of the game where they had the football. They scored on their first drive of the second half. Mahomes was exceptional in this game. 302 yards, three touchdown passes, does it in 198 games, eight faster than Aaron Rodgers, so the fastest to 300 touchdowns in NFL history. But this was sort of classic Chiefs, and you knew they were going to come out. They could not afford to fall to 2-4. They had to have this win.
Oh, absolutely. And so they're showing up at the right moment. Now they get Rashee Rice back next week. So let me ask, are the Chiefs now in the top five for you? Are they a contender in the postseason?
I am not going to overreact here. I think they're right there on the edge. I'm not going to go one dominant performance from the Chiefs in a game at home, in a game at night, especially the Lions, who, look, the Lions have been very good, and this was the highest scoring team in the NFL coming into this game, but also they hadn't really played anyone on the Chiefs level, so I kind of felt like this was a perfect spot for Kansas City to get right. I think they're right there, but I think we tend to, and I understand, you give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt because of what they've done. I think they're there. They're right on the cusp, but I'm not throwing them into the top five. Are you?
I don't think so, but I still think it's one of those teams that nobody's going to want to play in the postseason. Because, like, look at them. Like, they always raise their level of competition when they're playing the best teams in the league. Like, I understand some of those games have gone to the other team, and some of those games have been losses this year, but still, they're in these games. And it feels like when it comes to the postseason, you're not going to question them. You know, when the light is the brightest, obviously this team has been there and done that, which is not the same as some of these other teams in the AFC. So now that you have like the Ravens who feel very down and out, obviously the Bengals ain't doing anything. Maybe it's just like a process of elimination. Although Josh Allen still stands and he is still very good.
I will say for the Lions, you have to feel good about the fact that you're going to get healthier on defense. DJ Reed was out. Terrion Arnold was out. Avante Maddox was out. So all these guys are corners, which certainly would have helped against a Patrick Mahomes-led offense. Regardless, we move on. The Lions hosting the Bucs next Monday night, and the Chiefs welcome the Raiders on Sunday afternoon. Also last night in the majors, the ALCS, Game 1. The Mariners lead the series 1-0 after topping the Blue Jays 3-1. The Mariners plus 135 on the money line. Total set at 8. The under hits. Blue Jays get a leadoff home run from George Springer on the very first pitch of the game. Then the Mariners tie things up in the 6th on Cal Raleigh's second home run of the postseason. And that brings Jorge Polanco to the plate.
It's the 3-2. Polanco rips one to left field. Base hit. Rodriguez heads home and the Mariners have taken the lead.
Call courtesy of Fox. Polanco also adds a run-scoring single in the 8th inning as part of a 2-for-4 night. And Bryce Miller, brilliant on the mound, allows just one earned over 6 innings. And the Mariners, who have never played a World Series game, move a mini-step closer. They get the win in Game 1. So, nice start for Seattle and really cooled down those Blue Jays bats, which had been red hot.
Right, and especially to do it on the road, where the atmosphere was absolutely wild. In Toronto, you can tell their entire country is behind this team. So you see George Springer come out with, you know, the leadoff home run. But then the Mariners settle down and they settle down the crowd as well, because that is the best recipe for settling down a crowd, is not allowing them to score any more runs. So this was really impressive on Miller's part, you know, going 6 strong for the Mariners here. And Jorge Polanco, 2 of the 3 RBIs of the game. And of course, big dumper. It is so funny to me, the shirts that we're seeing in the stands now. Have you seen the ones that say Big Dump Energy? I've got to get me one of those.
Yeah, Big Dump Energy. And he's continued his run in the postseason. Like, he's continued to look good. You never know, right? Especially after a regular season that kind of comes out of nowhere and you have a team that makes the playoffs. Sometimes these guys cool off or it's a different season and they're pitched too different. But he's looked like the big dumper that we've seen all year. He's been such a great story.
Oh, absolutely. Like, not just the home runs, but he's hitting 400 for the postseason.
Yeah.
Because I think that was one of the knocks on him. If you're looking at the MVP discussion, is that Aaron Judge was the better overall hitter, because Aaron Judge had like 330 for the regular season, which is crazy. So, like, not only are the home runs coming for Cal Raleigh, he is a very, very good hitter come this postseason. And of course, the Mariners need it. When you're playing these low scoring games, you need every ounce of offense. So that home run, obviously, you know, was huge in this game as well.
And you can't say enough about Bryce Miller. This is a guy who, during the regular season, had gone six innings only once. That's it. That's the number one. Did it for the second time all season last night. Retires 17 of the last 19 batters he faces. This is a guy who had an ERA over 5 during the regular season. He was essentially the number 5 guy in the rotation. He pitches on short days rest. So when you get a guy who is not necessarily the ideal starter that you want to have in a game one, and yet he still goes out there and performs. I mean, this was huge for Seattle in that respect, because it didn't necessarily set up the way they would set it up. And they still get the dub.
Right. It feels like they're playing with house money now.
Yeah.
Because they have a guy that's deeper in the rotation that got the win in the first game, and it's on the road. So, like, this is a huge way to start the series for the Mariners, because they still have some games where they're going to be playing at home, and one would think they'd have a better chance at home, even though I'll say this. Cal Raleigh has been absolutely incredible when playing in Toronto. Like, some of his best numbers come against Kevin Gausman, who started last night. I think he has 4 career home runs off of him, and he loves playing in Toronto for some reason.
Yeah, he gets it going up there. Also, Vladdy Jr. went 9 of 17, 3 home runs, 9 RBI against the Yankees last night, 0-4 in Game 1. Game 2 tonight in Toronto, Blue Jays, a -130 favorite. Coming up, Penn State goes from national title contender to looking for a new head coach midseason. What is next after the firing of James Franklin? That is next on The Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.